بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is going to be our 30th session, reading from the Sharh or explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, with the explanation of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah. And tonight, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to complete the chapter that we started last week. Last week we read the text of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and tonight, bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, we're going to complete this chapter with the explanation of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah. And if Allah allows us any time remaining, then there are a couple of other points that we want to add to what has been mentioned here that inshallah will be of benefit. So before we begin with the sharh of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 29. The first question being, summarize the main topic of this chapter based upon the chapter heading. The main topic of this chapter based upon the chapter heading. Naam, Adil.
The Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah in regards to how they view the Sahaba, Ahl al-Bayt, and
Radiallahu anhu. Naam, so this chapter is entitled I'tiqad, yani the Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, and the Ali Bayt, yani the household, the people of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. The Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning how we view the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second question from the Asool, and from the usul of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that Allah described them is that which Allah described them with in His saying. Yani in the 59th surah, 10th ayah. And what was the description that Allah mentions in this ayah? The description, yani, of how Allah describes, yani, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Naam. How does He describe them? Naam, Talib. Okay, those who, yani walladhina ja'u min ba'dihim, yani those who came after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are supplicating from there. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Wala second part. Wala taj'al lil ladhina nam fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. So the point here in this ayah, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this description of the people of Islam, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that they are those who came after the companions, and they supplicate for them, O Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in Iman. And he meaning first and foremost the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and then those who came after them, and they also supplicated, O Allah, do not put in our hearts what? Any what? I can't hear you, I'm sorry. My hearing is poor. Hatred, jealousy, ill feelings, disdain, yani, for, yani, those who preceded us in Iman, yani, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah gives this description. So this description of the people who came after the companions, this is how they look at them. They pray for them, for their forgiveness, and they also ask Allah to make their hearts to be clean, to be safe and sound from any ill, yani, expressions, saying anything evil against the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third question from the usul of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his saying, and this hadith is agreed upon, yani, by Al Bukhari and Muslim. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Abdul Wali?
Do not speak ill of my companions. Naam.
He said, do not, yani, this is a prohibition. Do not speak ill, do not abuse, do not revile, yani, my companions, to the end of the hadith, in which he showed that the superiority of the companions over all other people is such that if they gave one mud, yani which is like what you can hold in your, in the palm of your two hands, if they gave that in charity, of whatever they gave in charity, yani people who came after them, their charity, if they gave gold equal to the amount of the mountain of Uhud, it wouldn't be equal to what the companions gave in this handful of charity, or even half of it. Showing the tremendous superiority of the station and the status of the companions over everybody who came after them. Question number four, what did Allah say to Ahl Badr, to the people of Badr? And how many people are included in the people of Badr? What did he say to them? Naam, Sharif.
Do whatever you wish, I have forgiven you.
Do whatever you wish, for I have already forgiven you. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that their participation in the battle of Badr was of such a magnitude with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anything they did after that would be erased, would be insignificant in comparison to the reward and the virtue and the pleasure of Allah due to them fighting, yani with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Badr. And question number five, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about Ashab al-Shajara, yani the people of the tree? And how many people are included in Ashab al-Shajar? Naam, Ameen. Okay, there were more than 1400 people who gave the pledge to the Prophet ﷺ underneath the tree. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say about these people? Somebody else. What did he say about these people? Naam, what's your name? Huh?
Damia.
Naam, what did the Prophet ﷺ say about these people? That no one of those people who gave a pledge to the Prophet ﷺ on that occasion underneath the tree, no one of those people, inshaAllah, would enter the fire. And some of the scholars said this means that not only yani, are they promised that they will not be in the hellfire, but yani, also yani, this is a sign, and as Allah mentioned in the Quran, this is a sign of His being pleased with these people. Now, question number six. What does the muallif, the author, mean by al-ashara? And who are they? And what does he mean when he said al-ashara? Now, help me with your name again?
Shanawaz.
Shanawaz. It's not that easy to remember, yeah. But it's easy to say though. Shanawaz, mashallah. If I hear it, I get it. Now.
So, the ashara mubashirin, the 10 guaranteed paradise.
The 10 are the 10 people who guaranteed paradise. Now. The ashara, he means the 10 people who are mentioned in one hadith together as being promised paradise while they were living on the earth. And who are they? The first of them? Naam.
Abu Bakr.
And then?
Umar, Uthman, Ali.
Somebody help us to finish. He gave us four already. Six more. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Thabit.
Huh?
Thabit.
Thabit?
Yeah.
Thabit is one of the people that he's promised paradise, but not from the 10. Naam? Naam. Huh? Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas.
Abu
Ubaid ibn Jarrah. That's two. That makes six.
Sa'd ibn Sa'id.
Huh?
Sa'd ibn
Sa'id. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'd and Sa'id. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Sa'id ibn Zayd. Naam. Who else? Naam, Sharif. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, naam.
And
Zubair ibn Awam, naam. Question number seven. Who are the best of this ummah after its Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, related by him and by others? The best of this ummah, naam. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad. The four rightly guided caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum. Question number eight, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say on the day of Ghadir Khum concerning his family, the Ahlul Bayt? What did he say concerning his family, the Ahlul Bayt? Naam, again, Muhammad. Naam, Udhakirukum Allah fi Ahli Bayti. What is the meaning of that? Somebody translate it for us. What is the meaning of that? Tayyib, Mahmood.
Remind you of Allah.
With regards to my family. The people يعني أهل بيتي, the people of my household. Some of the scholars said the meaning of this is that I remind you of what Allah has commanded us with concerning my family, yani their rights, fulfilling their rights and honoring and respecting them. Summarize something from the fadail, the virtues of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned by the muallif, yani some of what he has mentioned concerning the virtues of the wives of the Prophet. Sharif. That they are the mothers of believers, first and foremost. And Ummahat Mu'mineen, they are the mothers of the believers, of the believers of the whole Ummah. Can't get better than that. What else? Something else. Specifically, he mentioned some, generally about the wives of the Prophet, he said they are the mothers of the believers, and also that they will be his wives in the Akhirah. And then he mentioned specifically about Khadija radiallahu anha. What did he mention specifically about Khadija concerning her virtues? Specifically. He said that, Naam. Well, she was the first one who believed in him and supported him in his affair, and she was the mother of most of his children. And he said about Aisha radiallahu anha, Naam, Talib. And he said the virtue or the excellence of Aisha over the rest of the women is like the excellence of Farid over other foods. Final question, summarize five of the fadail and mahasin, the virtues and righteous actions of the Sahaba mentioned by the muallif, the author. Five of the virtues and righteous actions, the excellence of the companions, yani, he mentioned in the end. Five of them. He said first and foremost, the first thing he said is, the first thing that he said is, gotta be Iman. Iman billahi wa rasulihi. Gotta be Iman first, before anything. And then after that he said, Al-Jihad. And then he said, Hijrah. And then he said, Al-Nusr. Al-Nusr, yani supporting the deen of Allah, supporting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the final thing he said, is what? Huh? Knowledge, okay. Beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Beneficial knowledge. And it's from the virtues of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. From the most outstanding of their virtues is that they possessed, that they sought beneficial knowledge. And then they acted upon it with righteous actions. This is a virtue that a person seeks beneficial knowledge and then acts upon it with righteous actions. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week. Tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, and we're going to look at the sharh of Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. Before we read from the sharh, I'm just going to mention quickly that the text of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was 4 pages in Arabic, and the sharh is less than that. It's like not more than, less than 3 pages, perhaps. So some of the main points that are mentioned, or most of the main points that are mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah last week, are yani touched on in the sharh here. A couple of points he doesn't really yani give any explanation for. So please note that there are a few very, very important points that he doesn't really go into any detail about, and from amongst them, he doesn't go into any detail about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the narrations about the occurrences, the things that occurred yani amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that most of those narrations are either outright lies or they are distorted, yani distortions of reality, and yani that those which were actually accurate, that they are just merely incidences or occurrences of ijtihad, yani upon which some of the companions were correct in their ijtihad and some of them may have been mistaken. And he also doesn't talk about the actual sins of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that we don't consider them to be ma'asum, that they, like other human beings, are subject to commit sins, whether even major sins. It's possible that some of them have committed major sins even. Anyway, these are some of the points that he didn't allude to. The other points that are mentioned last week, and they were about 10 or 12 points, and he at least comments on each of them, even if just briefly. So tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be reading from page 115 in the Arabic text. And in the English translation from page, and the Sharh begins on what page? 201. Huh? 201. So it says Sharh Samahat al-Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah, yani the explanation of the noble Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz rahimahullah. And he begins by saying, and this is the introduction, this is the introduction to his commentary. He says, هَذَا الْفَصْلُ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ فُصُولَ الْكِتَابِ. And he's singling out this particular chapter, and he's saying it's from amongst the best of the chapters of this book. And out of all the chapters that we have been through, 20 or 30, I don't know how many chapters we've already covered, he said this is from amongst the best of them. And that means that he took the time to single out this chapter because of its great, great importance. And the whole book is important. And the whole book is important. But this is of the most important of those things. He said, أَفْضَلْ فُصُولُ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ فُصُولُ الْكِتَابِ وَمِنْ أَهَمِّ فُصُولُ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ عَقِيدَ الْوَسَطِيَّ فِي شَعْنِ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ. He said, it is from the best of the chapters of this book, and it is from the most important of the chapters of this book, Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyah, concerning the affair or the importance of the companions, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ. May Allah be pleased with them and make them to be pleased. And then he says, فِيهِ الرَّدُّ عَلَى الرَّافِضَ وَالرَّدُّ عَلَى النَّوَاسِبِ. Yani this chapter, of the importance of this chapter, or the importance of this chapter, from the things that make it important, is that it contains a refutation of the Rafida and a refutation of the Nawasib. And we know from the chapter heading that it's dealing with the companions of the Prophet and the wives and the family of the Prophet. However, here he's also identifying that from the important matters of this chapter is that it contains a refutation of the Rafida, the Shia, and a refutation of the Nawasib. Yani the Khawarij, and those who hated, had hatred for, and had ill will towards, and spoke ill of the family of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he says, additionally, وَفِيهِ بَيَانْ فَضْلِهِمْ وَمَنْزِلَتِهِمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ. He said it also, this chapter also contains a clarification of their virtues, or their excellence and superiority, and their high station or status, and amongst humanity, not only amongst this ummah, but amongst the whole of humanity. May Allah be pleased with them and make them to be pleased. Then he says, as part of his introduction to his commentary on this chapter, وَهُوَ فَضْلٌ عَظِيمٌ. Yani their excellence and superiority and virtue is a great, magnificent virtue. وَهُوَ, I'm sorry, فَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ. Yani this chapter is a great chapter. أَجَادَ فِيهَا الْمُؤَلَّفِ وَأَحْسَنَ بِإِبَارَاتٍ وَاضِحَةٍ بَيِّنَةٍ. Yani that this chapter is a great, magnificent chapter, and the author, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, has written it well. And he has written it with excellent, crystal clear expressions. When a person reads it, it's easy to understand what's being said here. This chapter needs to be read, and as well, along with it should be read, the Aqidah of the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah concerning the companions that I sent out to those who are on the email list, by Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Only 15 pages, a little bit longer than what we have here, but he covers some very, very, very important points concerning the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what has been mentioned in the Quran, what has been mentioned in the Sunnah, and what the scholars of the Sunnah have said concerning them. And he mentions several direct quotes from what the scholars of the people of Sunnah said concerning the companions in these 14 or 15 pages. Very, very brief, but a detailed discussion concerning the status of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is of great importance that we read it, and that we reread it, and that we reflect on it, and that we memorize some of it. Because this is a topic of great importance, especially in this time of deviation of the people who identify themselves as Muslims, and the dangers of the people who speak ill against the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he mentions the first point from what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in this chapter, and that is that the hearts and the tongues of the Ahl Sunnah are safe and sound and clean, yani are pure towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, فَمِنْ عَقِيدَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ سَلَامَةُ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ لِأَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani that from the aqeedah, this is from what we believe, from the foundations of our deen, of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, is that their hearts and their tongues are safe and sound and pure in reference to what their hearts contain and what their tongues express concerning the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So he starts first talking about their qulub, and then he talks about their alsina, yani their hearts and their tongues. فَقُلُوبُهُمْ salima. Their hearts are sound or safe or pure. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيَتَرَدَّوْنَ عَنْهُمْ. Yani their hearts are pure towards them, and the meaning of this is that they love the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. They have love for them. And also, they ask Allah to be pleased with them. لِأَنَّ حُبُّهُمْ دِينَ. Why? Because loving the companions of the Prophet ﷺ is our deen. Loving them is our deen. This is not a light matter. You love or you don't love, it doesn't matter, as you choose. Loving them is deen. And therefore hating them is what? Yani, it shows that a person has gone astray. Rather, who hates them has gone out of Islam, a kuffar. And this was the opinion of Imam Malik and many of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, inshallah I'll read from it at the end if we have time. Loving them is deen, and hating them, yani, is kufr. And also, yani, their hearts are sound and safe towards the companions of the Prophet. لِأَنَّهُمْ حَمَلَتِ الشَّرْءِ لَنَا. They are the people who conveyed to us the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deen was carried from the Prophet, was conveyed to us by the companions. And this is another important matter Shaykh al-Islam or Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions, that the criticism of the companions is not just criticism of the companions, but it's also criticism of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, criticism of the sharia of Allah, and criticism of Allah himself. Because they're the people who conveyed the sharia to us, who conveyed the deen to us. لَنْهُمْ حَمَلَتْ الشَّرْ لَنَا وَخَيْرُ الْقُرُونَ. And they are the best of generations. And they are the best of generations. The hearts of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are safe and sound and pure towards the companions. They love them. And loving them is deen. And that is because, yani, they are the people who carried the sharia of Allah to us. And they are the best of generations. فَحُبُّهُمْ deen. Loving them is deen. فَأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in for the sake of Allah. Love them for the sake of Allah. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ سَالِمَةً نَحْوَهُمْ. So their hearts are pure towards them. بَلْ مَمْلُوءَةٌ بِحُبِّهِمْ. Rather, their hearts are not just pure. Rather, their hearts are filled with love of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And a person heart is not going to be filled with love for them unless you know them. And you're not going to know them unless you read about them. Which means that, yani, this is one of the things that a Muslim has to be attentive to, reading about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reading what has been said about them from the people of Sunnah, from the scholars of Sunnah, to know them and to increase one's love for them. And then he says, wa alsinatuhum salima, and their tongues are also safe from saying anything, from speaking anything of ill or evil towards the companions of the Prophet. He said, this means what? فَلَا يَصُبُّونَهُمْ وَلَا يُعِيبُونَهُمْ. So they don't abuse them, they don't insult them, speak ill of them, and they don't criticize them. They don't try to find fault with them. Their hearts are safe from saying anything, from abusing them, or insulting them, or criticizing them. بَلْ يَتَرَدَّوْنَ عَنْهُمْ. Rather, their tongues are occupied with supplicating that Allah be pleased with them. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَيَدَعُونَ لَهُمْ طَاعَةً لِلَّهِ. And their tongues are occupied with supplicating for them in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said concerning them, yani in Surah Al-Hashr, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعَدِهِمْ. Yani concerning the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that those who came after the companions, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. They saying, O our Rabb, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in Iman. And the people who preceded us in Iman, first and foremost, are the companions, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَلَا يَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And don't يعني place in our hearts any rancor, ill feelings, يعني against those who believed. يعني meaning those who believed before us. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَوْفٌ رَحِيمٌ. O our Rabb, indeed, you are compassionate and merciful. And this is in Surah Al-Hashr, يعني the 10th ayah. Also, the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, he says concerning them, وَيَحْفَذُونَ فِيهِمْ وَصِيَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِهِمْ. Yani that they protect, they guard, yani they act upon the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning his companions, wherein he said, "La tasubbu ashabi, la tasubbu ashabi." Don't revile or don't yani speak ill against my companions. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدٍ ذَهَبَ مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفًا. For I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, if one of you, anyone, yani, of you, were to spend that which is equal to the mountain of Uhud in gold, it would not have reached, it wouldn't be equal to what one of them gave, yani a handful of charity that they gave, or even a half of it. So he says, فَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُمْ. Yani the Ahl Sunnah, this is their sifa, this is their characteristic, their description. هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُمْ. This is the quality or characteristic or description of Ahl Sunnah. قُلُوبُهُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتُهُمْ سَالِمَةٌ لِأَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani that their hearts and their tongue are safe and sound towards the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. Then he goes to the next point from what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, yani the position, what is our position towards the Ahlul Sunnah, yani how do we view them, what is their station and their status. He says, فَهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ زُبْدَةُ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ لَا كَانَ وَلَا يَكُونُ مِثْلَهُمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَأَرْضَاهُمْ. Yani that they are the, yani the purest of this ummah after the prophets alayhimu salam. There were never, la kana, there was never and there will never be any people like them. May Allah be pleased with them. Meaning that if they are the best of this ummah and this ummah is the best of all the nations, then they are the best of the creation. Yani after only the prophets and messengers. And even the followers of every prophet, whether Isa, Musa, Ibrahim, or any of the prophets who came before, their followers are not equal to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the best of creation after the prophets. There never was a people before equal to them, and there never will be a people after equal to them. Then he says, فَالْوَاجِبُ. So, because of this, because of their station and their status, their elevated station and status, and their excellence and virtue and superiority over other people, over all people other than the prophets and messengers. He said, فَالْوَاجِبُ. So what is obligatory upon us is حُبُّهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ, that we love them for the sake of Allah. Yani it is obligatory upon us that we love them for the sake of Allah. وَالتَّرَدِّي عَنْهُمْ, and that we supplicate that Allah be pleased with them. This is obligatory upon us. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. وأن أفضلهم, I'm sorry, والكف عن مساويهم فيما شجر بينهم. And it is obligatory upon us to hold back, to restrain from talking about, yani, those things that they might be criticized for concerning what occurred between them. Yani, the fitna, the disputes and even fighting that occurred between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani it is obligatory upon us to hold back, to refrain from mentioning these things that they would be criticized for. And it's not our right to speak about these things. Some of the scholars said we shouldn't even read the books that talk about them. We shouldn't even read the history books or other books that talk about these things unless there is a need or a necessity for some reason that we have to look at this, so that a person's heart is not affected, that a person doesn't begin to judge between one and the other, and which one was right and which one was wrong, and loving one and disliking the other. Our tongues, yani, are refraining from mentioning, yani, the things that occurred between them. It is also obligatory. He said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّهُمْ خَيْرُ الْخُرُونَ وَأَنَّ أَفْضَلَهُمْ الْخُلَفَ الرَّاشِدُونَ الصِّدِّيقُ ثُمَّ عُمَرُ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانُ ثُمَّ عَلِيٌّ. That also it is obligatory upon us to have iman, that they are the best of the generations. And also that the best of them are the four rightly guided khalifas. As-Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu, and then Ali radiallahu anhu. Yani, and also what is obligatory upon us to believe that they are the best of all the generations, and that the best of them are the rightly guided khalifas, in the order of their khilafah. And then he talks about, yani, the fact that there was some difference of opinion amongst some of the companions and the people who came after them for some time concerning who was more virtuous, Uthman or Ali. Not about who had the right to be the khalifa first, but who was more virtuous. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعْضُ السَّحَابَ قَدْ تَنَازَعَ فِي تَقْدِيمِ أُثْمَانَ عَلَى عَلِي أَوَ الْعَقْسِ وَلَكِنْ إِسْتَقَرَّ أَمْرُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أَنَّ أُثْمَانَ هُوَ الثَّالِثُ وَأَنَّ عَلِيًّا هُوَ الرَّابِعُ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ وَالْفَضْلِ. And even though some of the companions had some difference concerning giving preference to Uthman over Ali, or the opposite, yani giving preference to Ali over Uthman, he said, however, the matter of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the preference of Uthman over Ali was settled later. And it was settled upon the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah agreed later that Uthman had preference of virtue over Ali, that he was the third, and that Ali was the fourth, in the Khilafah and in Fadl. Yani in both, yani who had the right to the Khilafah, which is agreed upon by the Sahaba, that it was Uthman before Ali, but also the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah agreed later on that in Fadl, yani in virtue and excellence, that Uthman radiallahu anhu was superior to Ali radiallahu anhu. And each of them have their virtues. So the matter is settled amongst Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the Khilafah, that the one who had the right to be the Khalifa first was Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali. And also the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah also agreed and settled upon the fact that the most virtuous of the companions was Abu Bakr, and then Uthman, and then Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali, in both of these affairs. And as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, as we mentioned last week, he said, the matter of who was more virtuous is not a matter from the fundamentals of Islam, due to which if a person differed, we would consider them to be astray. But as far as the Khilafah, if somebody thinks that Ali should have been the Khalifa before Uthman, or before Umar, or before Abu Bakr, then these people are more astray than their family's donkey. Then he says, the next matter, he talks about the deviation concerning the companions of the Prophet and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, well, before that he said, وَحَاكَذَا, yani what has been mentioned previously, وَحَاكَذَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أَنْ يَكُونُوا بِهَذَا الْإِعْتِقَادِ. So this is the way it is incumbent, it is befitting, it is expected of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that their aqidah be like this. Any of the things that we have mentioned. And the last of what we mentioned is concerning the most virtuous of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and who had the right to Khilafah, and who was the most virtuous of them between the four Khalifas in that order. He said, this is the way the Ahlul Sunnah, this is the way their aqidah should be. And then he makes a new topic. He says, وَأَنْ يَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ فَرِيقَةِ الرَّوَافِضِ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ الصَّحَابَةَ وَيُؤْذُونَهُمْ وَطَرِيقَةَ النَّوَاصِبِ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ بِقَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. He said, so also What is incumbent upon the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to declare themselves to be free from, to be innocent of the path, the tariqah of the Rawafid, the Shia. And he describes them as being those who insult, who abuse the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and harm them. The Rawafid, those who insult and abuse verbally the companions of the Prophet and harm them. And he said also to declare ourselves free from, to be innocent of, the path of the Nawasib. Who are the Nawasib? He said, they are those who, yu'adhuna ahlul bayt, who cause harm to the family of the Prophet ﷺ, either by speech or by their actions. And he's speaking ill of them and trying to harm them. In this description, which is a partial description of the positions of the Rawafid, the Shiites, and the Nawasib, he mentions that the Rawafid are those who insult and abuse the companions of the Prophet and harm them, and the Nawasib are the opposite, those who, yani, cause harm to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, the harm of the Shiites he mentions as being against the companions, and the harm of the Nawasib against the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in another description in the end, he mentions the Rawafid as those who exalt, who, yani, exaggerate concerning the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu and the family of the Prophet, and the Nawasib or the Khawarij as those who speak ill against them. Different, yani, aspect, a different angle that he's looking at it from. But here he's saying what? That the Rawafid are those who abuse and insult and try to harm the companions of the Prophet, and the Nawasib are those who try to harm the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhum with speech and action. فَيَنْبَغِ لِأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ أَنْ يَبْتَعِدُوا عَنْ هَذَا الْخُلُقِ الذَّمِيمِ. So it is incumbent upon the people of Sunnah to distance themselves, to be far removed from this blameworthy, yani, type of character. This blameworthy khuluq. Yani, meaning going to either of the extremes, of those who are against the companions of the Prophet or those who are against the family of the Prophet. Both of these are blameworthy characteristics. Then he talks here now about the topic of, yani, the different levels of, yani, excellence of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he doesn't mention here, yani, the superiority of the Muhajirin over the Ansar. But he mentions here what? Yani, وَكَذَلِكَ يَشْهَدُونَ لِمَنْ شَهِدَ لَهُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْجَنَّةِ كَالْعَشَرَةِ وَثَابِتْ إِبْنِ قَيْسِ إِبْنِ شَمَّاسِ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ السَّلَامِ وَأُقَاشَ إِبْنِ مِحْصَنِ. He talks about, yani, those who have been given the distinction that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, testified to the fact that these people are going to be in Jannah. He said, so what? Likewise, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah bear witness to those whom the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness that they would be in Jannah, like the 10, and he, who Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah referred to in his text concerning this, the 10, yani, the 4 Khalifas and those who are mentioned along with them, Sa'd and Sa'id and Talha and Zubair and Abdurrahman ibn Awf and Abu Ubaidah. Yani, that whoever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness to them being of the people of Jannah, like the 10, we also bear witness to them, as well as others. And he mentions here 3 that have been mentioned specifically by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outside of the 10, who also promised Jannah. Not forgetting, keeping in mind, the more than 313 people of Badr who Allah said He has already forgiven them. Not to mention the more than 1400 people who gave the pledge, the Bayatul Ridwan, underneath the tree to the Prophet, who, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said would not enter the hellfire. So all of these people are promised paradise. But here he's mentioning some people who are mentioned individually, not as a group, but individually, that they are promised paradise. And from amongst them, outside of the 10, is Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, and Uqasha ibn Mihsan radiallahu anhu. He says, وَجَمَاعَةٍ شَهِدَ لَهُمْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ. And also there are others, yani, there are a group of others who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has testified to them being from the people of paradise. We also bear witness to them being from the people of paradise. من ثبت أنه شهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يشهد له. Whoever is confirmed, yani in authentic narrations, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم testifies that these people or this person is from the people of paradise, we also bear witness to that. And from amongst those people who have a virtuous status, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا ثَبَتَ فِي أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ حَيْثُ قَالَ لَهُمْ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. And likewise, we also believe in what has been confirmed concerning the people who fought in the Battle of Badr, who, yani it was said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Hadith Qudsi concerning them, do whatever you will, for I have already forgiven you. And likewise, of those who have distinction, وَبِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلَ النَّارَ أَحَدٌ بَايَعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجْرَةِ يعني بَيْعَةَ الرِّضْوَانِ. And likewise, the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe in the fact that no one of the people who gave the pledge to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم underneath the tree, the pledge known as Bayat al-Ridwan, Bayat al-Ridwan. And for some reason or other, when I was reviewing the English translation, the expression, yani this title Bayat al-Ridwan is not mentioned in the English translation. But in any case, it's referring to what? The pledge, yani due to which Allah was pleased with these people. Allah was pleased with these people because of the pledge that they gave to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم underneath the tree on the occasion of the rumor being spread that Uthman رضي الله عنه had been killed by the Quraysh, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took a pledge from his companions, those who came to make Umrah with him, that none of them would leave until they revenged Uthman, even if they all died. Those people who gave that pledge to give their life, Allah was pleased with them. And that's why this is known as Bayat al-Ridwan. He said that we also believe that no one of the people who gave this pledge underneath the tree, the Bayat al-Ridwan, no one of them would enter the hellfire. لِأَنَّهُ ثَبَتَ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, because it is confirmed from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ أَحَدٌ بَايَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, that no one of the people who gave the pledge to him underneath the tree would enter the hellfire. وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ, and Allah has revealed concerning them, not only they would not enter the hellfire, but Allah revealed concerning them, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Yani that indeed, definitely, certainly, Allah is pleased with the believers who, yani, gave the pledge to you underneath the tree. Yani Allah's pleasure is declared here in this ayah, that Allah is pleased with them. And then the ayah goes on to say about those people, فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, so Allah knew what was in their hearts. This is also, yani, a virtue. Allah talks about what's in their hearts, not just their action, but He also talks about what was in their hearts. Allah knew that their hearts were pure, that what they were doing was purely for the sake of Allah. And that's a little bit different than somebody testifying that you did a good action, but they don't know what's in your heart. Allah Himself is testifying that He knew what was in their hearts. فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ, so He sent down tranquility upon them. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, and He rewarded them with a near victory. With a near victory. This is from Surah Al-Fath, 48th Surah, 18th Ayah. And then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, كُلُّ هَذَا مِنْ عَقِيدَةَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, all of this is from the عَقِيدَة of أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْإِيمَانِ بَعْدَهُمْ هُوَ السَّيْرُ عَلَى مَنَاهِجِهِمْ, so what is obligatory upon the people of Iman who came after the companions رضي الله عنهم, it is that we travel upon their methodology, their manhaj, the way that, the path that they traveled upon and the way that they practiced Islam, it is obligatory upon us to travel on the same path. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ الصَّحَابَةِ, and also to believe that the companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين كلهم خير الأمة وأفضلهم, that all of them are the best of this ummah, yani they are the, yani the best and the most preferable, most excellent of this ummah. وَإِنَّمَا قَدْ يُنْقَلُوا عن بعضهم من أشياء تنتقد فهو نزو قليل في جنب ما أعطاهم الله من الخير العظيم وفي جنب فضائلهم وأعمالهم العظيمة. And in also to believe, يعني it is also obligatory upon the people of Sunnah, the people of Iman, to believe that what has been yunqal, يعني what has been conveyed concerning some of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, some matters that are tuntaqad, that a person might be criticized for, that a person might find fault with or disapprove of, that what has been conveyed to us concerning some of the companions of the Prophet, some things that might be criticized. So those things, he said, فَهُوَ نَزْوٌ قَلِيلٌ. It is a very small, insignificant, negligible amount of things that they could possibly be criticized for. Yani if a person were from amongst the people who want to criticize them, and the people of deviation, even if a person wanted to criticize them, what they could be criticized for is very insignificant, very negligible, in comparison to yani the khair, the great good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, and in comparison to their excellence and virtues and their magnificent deeds. So if a person compares yani the thing that one or some of them could be criticized for in comparison to all the good that they have done and the virtues that Allah has given to them, then we will find it yani lost in the virtue and the good deeds that they have done. And then, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and here the Shaykh is repeating what he said pretty much, any five things due to which, if any of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were proven to have done any act that could be criticized, any due to which they could be criticized or found fault with, then yani the consequence of those deeds would be removed by a number of things. And here he mentions five. فَهُوَ إِمَّا يَكُونُ قَدْ تَابَ مِنْهُ. Either the companion would have repented from it in the same way that we repent. They would have repented faster than we did. And then repentance removes whatever is before it. أَوْ أَتَى بِحَسَنَاتٍ تَمْحُ. Or they would have come with some good deeds that erase evil deeds. As we heard in the Salat today, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَا السَّيِّئَاتِ. That good deeds remove evil deeds. So they would have done some good deeds that would have removed those evil deeds or whatever they could have been criticized for. أَوْ غُفِرَ لَهُ بِفَضْلِ سَابِقَاتِهِ. Or he would have been forgiven. He would have been forgiven due to the virtue or the excellence of his precedence, yani his being from the person, people who came first, who were foremost in this deen. Al-awwaluna, al-sabiquna. Yani that these were the first people who stepped up, who believed in the Prophet and followed him and supported him. They would have been forgiven due to the virtue of their having precedence, being the forerunners in this deen. Aw bi shafa'ati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they would have been, and he would have been forgiven due to the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alladhi هم أحق الناس بشفاعتي. And we know that, we had a whole chapter on, and he's talking about the different types of shafa'ah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that yani the Prophet ﷺ would intercede for the people who died upon Tawheed. And yani the people who have most right to that intercession would be the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And finally, fifthly, he said, أَوَبْتُلِيَ بِبَلَاءٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ مَرْضٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ كُفِّرُ بِهِ عَنْهُ. Or they would have been tested, yani afflicted with some affliction or some calamity in this world, like sickness or other than that, due to which they would have been, yani their sin would have been expiated. So here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is summarizing some of the means through which a person's fault or wrongdoing or mistake or error or sin would have been removed, either through repentance or good deeds that erase evil deeds, or yani the excellence, yani that they are entitled to alone as being the first people who believed in the Prophet ﷺ, or due to the shafa'ah, the intercession of the Prophet, which they are the people who have most right to it, or due to some trial, affliction or calamity that if they had been patient with it in this world, it would have expiated for their sins. And then the Shaykh, he closes He closes, that's the last point that he makes from what was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And then he closes saying, هَكَذَا أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلِ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا الْمُؤَلِّفْ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ. Yani, so this is how it should be for the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning these issues which were mentioned by the author, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَحْفَظَ هَذَا الْفَصْلِ جَيِّدًا وَأَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِمَعْنَاهُ. He said, so it is incumbent, it is befitting for a believer, for the believer, that he يَحْفَظْ هَذَا الْفَصْلِ جَيِّدًا, that he memorize this chapter very well. And a person is not going to memorize these issues except that they read it over and over and over again and reflect upon it and examine it and study it carefully so that a person understands it and it becomes yani confirmed, tied to their heart as their aqidah that we believe in and then that we live by it and then that we act upon it. Yani it's not an aqidah that you espouse with your tongue. Rather he's saying here, learn it, understand it, memorize it, and then live by it. And then live by it. وَأَن تَكُونُ عَقِيدَتُهُ رَاسِخَةً حَتَّى يُخَالِفَ بِهَا جَمِيعَ أَهْلِ الْبِدَاءِ مِنَ الرَّوَافِدِ وَالنَّوَاسِبِ. And that this be the people from Ahl Sunnah, the person from Ahl Sunnah, that this be his aqeedah, that his aqeedah be firmly established, firmly rooted, such that he will oppose with it, he will use it to oppose every one of the people of Bidah, whether it is the Rawafid, Shiites or the Nawasib, Khawarij and other than them, yani who hated and opposed and took a stand against the family of the Prophet ﷺ, or others from the people of innovation, those who had evil thoughts. And specifically he mentions here those who exaggerated. غَلُوا فِي أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ, went to the extreme in exaggerating the station and the status and the virtues of first and foremost Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and then the other members of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who exaggerated their station. And here he means by Ahlul Bayt, he means Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima and their offspring. And he doesn't mean the rest of the family of the Prophet. And the people of Bani Hashim or the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they exaggerated concerning these few people. They went to the extreme with them. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, some of them, the extremists amongst them, actually went to the extreme and exaggerated Ali, claiming that he was God. Claiming that he's God. He said, so, yani they would, this aqidah would be firmly established in the believer's heart such that they will oppose all the people of deviation. And he said, from amongst them is those who have evil thoughts. وَجَفَعُوا فِي حَقِّهِمْ كَالْخَوَارِجِ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ وَأَشْبَاهِهِمْ مِنْ مَنْ سَاعَتْ أَقْوَالُهُمْ وَأَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَآلِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And also those who had evil thoughts and who were neglectful, and who didn't give the four rights, who were neglectful of the rights of the companions or the companions and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, because he said here the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. So these people not only yani spoke ill and had ill feelings towards the family of the Prophet, but also the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, and those who are like them from amongst those who had who their speech and their actions towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family was evil. Their speech and their actions towards the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in and his family, yani their speech and their actions were evil towards them. And then he closes by saying, nas'alullah an yarda anhum wa yaj'alana min atba'ihim bi ihsanihi. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he be pleased with them, yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and that he yani make us, that Allah cause us to be from amongst those who follow them in ihsan, in excellence, in goodness. That we follow them, yani, that we strictly follow them, that we adhere to their path and their way in a good manner. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. And I said that I just want to make a couple of other points, yani, as we have, alhamdulillah, yani, some time remaining. I want to make two points here of great importance from what has been mentioned elsewhere. From that which has been mentioned in the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, and there are a lot of points, but the point that to me stuck out as being the greatest of importance, and I'm going to end it with this matter that the Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz ends with, that is, warning against the people of deviation, especially the Shiites. Warning against these people. And especially the Shiites, because the Khawarij, and we may not be coming that much in contact with the Khawarij, but the Shiites are present. They are present. And they are influential. And they are affecting people and corrupting people and deceiving people. And we should know the evil of these people. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, he says, in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he says, وَفِي الْحَقِيقَةِ إِنَّ السَّبَّ السَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ لَيْسَ جَرْحًا فِي السَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فَقَدْ بَلْ هُوَ قَدْحْ فِي السَّحَابَ وَفِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ وَفِي شَرِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَفِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani the person who abuses, who insults the companions, who speaks ill of the companions, well, this is not just an insult or an abuse of the companions, rather it is also an insult and an abuse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is an insult to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is an abuse and an insult against Allah himself, against Allah himself. And then the Shaykh, yani, explains each one of these points, and for the sake of time I'm going to try to go through them quickly, but basically what he says here, as far as their speaking ill, their criticism, defamation, degrading of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is crystal clear. Yani they speak ill of them. They said that they all apostated after the Prophet except a few, and that they all were evil and they were corrupt and then so on and so on. That's clear. How is this though a how is it a rebuke against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, when a person speaks ill against the companions, when he vilifies them, degrades them, or defames them, then this means that that person is saying that these people who were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his people, yani his trusted companions, and the people who were his successors upon the ummah, a person is saying that they were the most evil of creation. Yani these, the people who speak ill against the companions, they are saying that the Prophet's companions and his trusted, the people that he entrusted with responsibility and authority, and the people who succeeded him, that they were all ill. So this is really, yani, a rebuke or a defamation, or yani, speaking ill against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And from another perspective, yani, those people who say that they are the most evil, the companions are the most evil, then they are actually saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying when he spoke good of them and mention their virtues. As far as their rebuking and speak and degrading the Sharia of Allah by abusing the companions of the Prophet, he said that they are attacking the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an attack against the Sharia, and that is because the companions were the intermediaries between us and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in conveying the Sharia. Yani the intermediaries who conveyed the deen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us were the companions. So if their adala, if their trustworthiness, yani, falls, then there's no trust in what they conveyed to us. That is the deen of Allah and the sharia of Allah. Then we also can't trust that. And finally he said, as far as the criticism of the companions being, yani, an attack against Allah himself, it is because, yani, the criticism of the companions in light of their saying that they were evil, yani, means that Allah has sent His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst these evil people, and He has chosen, that Allah has chosen these evil people to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the carriers or the conveyors of His Sharia, who conveyed it to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is also a criticism of Allah subhanahu wa taala. If a person considers these things, then it becomes crystal clear that the evil of the criticism and the ill words that are spoken against the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last thing that I want to mention is what is mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah concerning the Shia, and I alluded to it earlier. Yani it is mentioned concerning the ayat from Surah Al-Fath. Naam. 29th ayat. It's particularly from Surah Al-Fath. 48th surah, 29th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Yani that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him are very stern against the disbelievers, and they are kind and compassionate amongst themselves. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. That you see them bowing and prostrating, seeking the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is describing them that their purpose, the objective of them bowing and prostrating was seeking the pleasure of Allah. He's talking about what's in their hearts. سِيمَاهُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَةِ. Yani that their sign, the sign is in their faces. Yani their distinctive marks is in their faces, which is from the effects of their prostration. And this is how they are described in the Torah. وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. And their description or their likeness in the Injil, كَزَّرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَرْهُ. That it is like a plant that, yani, brings forth its, yani, its sprouts forth. وَزَرَهُ. And then it becomes strengthened. فَاسْتَغْلَبَ. And then it becomes thick and firm. فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. And then it stands upright upon its roots. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعَ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. And this is the point that Imam Malik is addressing here. He says, so that this plant that comes forth, which is a parable of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, pleases the planter, the sower, the one who plants the tree, plants the seed. It pleases him, لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, so that it will enrage the disbelievers. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah has promised those who believe and do good deeds from amongst them, yani the companions, He has promised them forgiveness and a magnificent reward, that is Al-Jannah. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir in his tafsir of this ayat, particularly the words, يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعَ لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, yani that this plant, the way it grew up, yani is pleasing to the farmer, the one who planted it, and it enrages the disbelievers. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, وَمِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ انْتَزَعَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي رِوَايَةٍ عَنْهُمْ فِي رِوَايَةٍ عَنْهُ بِتَكْفِيرِ الرَّوَافِدِ الَّذِينَ يُبْغِضُونَ الصَّحَابَةَ. And he said from this ayat, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, in a narration from him, has extracted or derived the takfir of the rawafid, yani that the Shiites are disbelievers, those who hate the companions. Qala, Imam Malik said, لِأَنَّهُمْ يَغِيظُونَهُمْ وَمَنْ غَاضَ السَّحَابَةُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ لِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. And this is because يَغِيظُونَهُمْ, yani that this is because the companions enrage the Shiites. وَمَنْ غَاضَ السَّحَابَةُ. And whoever the Sahaba enrage, yani whoever are enraged by the excellence and superiority of the Sahaba, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, then he is a disbeliever based on this ayat. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir goes on to say, وَوَافَقَهُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. That Imam Malik wasn't alone with this view, rather there was a group amongst the scholars who agreed with him in this view. And he said, وَلَا حَدِيثٌ فِي فَضَالِ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالنَّهْيِ أَنْ تَعَرُّدْ لَهُمْ بِمَسَاءَةٍ كَثِيرَةٌ. The hadith are many. Many are the hadith concerning the excellence and virtues of the Sahaba and the prohibition of displaying their shortcomings. وَيَكْفِيهِمْ ثَنَاءُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرِضَاهُ عَنْهُمْ. And what is sufficient, yani, for a person to refrain from speaking ill against them is Allah's praise of them and Allah being pleased with them. Yani Al-Imam Malik said that this ayat is an indication that whoever is enraged by the excellence and the superiority of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, then this is a sign that this person is a kafir. And we know that the Shiites, from the distinctive marks of the Shiites, is that they hate the companions of the Prophet ﷺ speak ill against them and declared that most of them left Islam after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is an indication of the severity of the deviation of these people who go amongst us. And some people imagine that they are just Muslims who have some different views. Imam Malik said that they are kuffar. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that out of His mercy He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, that He grant us al-thabat upon a sirat al-mustaqim, and that He yani keep us firm and steadfast until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant yani speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His mercy upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious, and that He admit them into paradise and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescue and grant relief to the believers, men, women and children, in Palestine and in the other lands of the Muslims and in the non-Muslim lands where Muslims are being persecuted and slaughtered and murdered. That Allah grant them relief, that Allah protect them with the protection from Himself, from above them and below them, from before them and behind them, from the right and from the left. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani reward them and compensate them in this life and in the next yani for the trials and tribulations that they have been subjected to. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.